Okay, remind you that Saturday morning there is going to be an exciting event taking place right here on the church grounds. Who knows what it is? Exciting event Saturday morning. What is it? Wood detail. Okay. Come and haul wood. That will be an exciting time. And so Mr. Ika is looking forward to seeing you on Saturday morning. Okay. Let's turn our Bibles. We're going to start off with Hosea chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4, verse 6, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. It's interesting that Lenin, the famous communist, said, if you can separate a people from their history, you can persuade them. And here in Hosea, we find that ignorance is truly the tool of the devil, and truth is truly the tool that God is interested in using in our lives, especially in these days. Today we're going to take a little time, and person who asked me to do this isn't here tonight. He said, explain to me what is Reformed theology. Well, the Reformers were the Reformers. We call them the Protestants. Knox, Zwingli, Luther, etc., they were reformers. Why were they called reformers? They were called reformers because their purpose was never to separate from the Catholic Church. Their purpose was to reform the Catholic Church. Baptists are not called, shouldn't be called Protestants or reformers. Because it was never the goal of Baptists to reform the Catholic Church. Baptists and their relatives always were persecuted by the Catholic Church because of their New Testament faith. And now there has been a false teaching that has been tossed around for the last 100 years. It's called the English Separatist Theory. That basically says that the present-day Baptists are not related to the Anabaptists, but the Baptists of today are Protestants and came out of the Reformation. We reject that view for many, many different reasons. Institutions that were founded upon biblical Baptist beliefs now are adopting that position. And it may not seem very significant, but it is very significant position when it really comes down to it. Now, we're going to give you some brief ideas of really what's the difference between a Protestant and a Baptist. We're starting at number 10 down there. I don't know if there's blanks in all of these or not, but Reformers sought to reform Catholicism. Baptists sought to go back to the simplicity of the New Testament. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Tells us the source of our beliefs. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16. Says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. And of course, you recognize that the reformers never was their goal to go back to the simplicity of the New Testament. They only sought to reform Catholicism. John Wesley never renounced the Church of England. Episcopalianism, as we know it. None of the reformers. Let me ask you a question. Which reformer renounced their Catholic sprinkling? None. That tells you a whole lot about what they believe. And so all the reformers trace their heritage to the Roman Catholic Church, and they never sought to renounce it and its heretical infant sprinkling. In fact, I don't know if any one of them would have renounced their infant sprinkling. Well, then they would have had to be baptized the Bible way, and they wouldn't have been a reformer anymore. They would have been an Anabaptist, and they would have probably been drowned in the river or had their head cut off. So it's interesting. I'm just going to give you some illustrations here about Christian curriculum. Here is ACE, Accelerated Christian Education. They have a number of schools. A lot of good churches have ACE schools. One of their foundational books is called The Rebirth of Our Nation. And the principles of the Declaration of Independence are originated with the man who argued, they say, that the principles of the Declaration originate with the man who argued that heretics like Williams and the Baptist should be put to death. In this book, the Baptists were excluded from all 372 pages of the inaugural book of the Christian school movement. There is no mention of Williams, no mention of John Clark, the dissenters, the separate Baptists, or John Leland's influence on James Madison. John Leland met with James Madison, and he was the one who told Madison, if you put with the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, guaranteed the free exercise of religion, and the no establishment cause, the Baptists will get behind the Constitution. And it was because of that that the present form of the Constitution that we have, it was adopted. But in this important book, no mention of John Leland. Instead, there's glorification of Martin Luther, John Calvin, John Knox, John Witherspoon, all Reformed clergymen. There is no explanation of true religious liberty. Very interesting, very sad. Here is Alpha Omega Publications. Alpha Omega Publications. It says the high school level life pack 7.8. It begins with Augustine and Aquinas, and on page 28, they are referred as Christianity's two greatest political thinkers. There is no mention of the Baptist struggle for religious liberty. And this is what it says in Life Pack 9.1. The United States is one of the few countries that practices religious tolerance. This is incorrect. The U.S., and this is a comment on that, our comment. This is incorrect. The U.S. has guaranteed religious liberty. Tolerance implies an establishment. And then it says, today we have too much freedom. It says in Life Pack 103, it says on Christianity in the 4th century, the clergy consisted of priests who took care of the laity in local parishes and of the bishops who were selected by the priests to take care of an area or a diocese. Each bishop resided in a city known as a see. This is Christianity in the 4th century. There was no mention that this was false or deviation from the simplicity of the ancient church. That was described as the norm of Christianity in the 4th century. Page 24 gives some detail on Wycliffe, but fails to mention his rejection of infant baptism. There is much attention to Luther and Calvin, of course. On page 29, we find the strange assertion that Calvin believed in the separation of church and state. Absolutely false. This is nowhere to being true. The same page correctly says Calvin was the head of a theocracy in Geneva. There is no mention of Calvin's views on Baptists and their doctrines. No mention is given the writings of the Baptists in prison for their faith. In fact, there is no Baptist testimony in any Alpha Omega curriculum. Quite an astounding statement. Let's talk about the difference, some more differences of Protestants and the Baptists. Well, let's go to number one. Protestants baptized babies. And, of course, we know Protestants baptized babies because they are reformers. They were reformers of the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church invented infant baptism as a means to wash away original sin. Find the verse for that one. But all the reformers adopted infant sprinkling from the Catholics. They are Protestants. You want to know what a reform? One is reformed theology, is they practice infant baptism. Okay, and on the contrast, Baptists follow the biblical practice of baptizing adults. One who must be old enough to believe and what? Understand. Okay, it's interesting that, I'm getting ahead of myself, the number one theologian of the Catholic Church is Augustine. How many have heard of Augustine? Okay. And in many cases, the number one theologian of the Reformed churches is Augustine. This is what Augustine believed. Mankind inherits original sin. Baptism is a symbol and sign of the covenant, figurative of circumcision, and washes away original sin. Infant baptism is compulsory and provides regeneration. 4, the church is Israel. 5, membership in the universal church is not voluntary. Sacerdotal salvation through the church, in other words, through sacraments. 8, predestination and election before being born or born again. 8, the new covenant is patriarchal, not individual. The events of Revelation are figurative, and Jesus' return is not imminent. 10, corporal or capital punishment upon heretics. Church-state marriage. The world should be dominated by the church. Now, we will kind of take that thought. The marriage of the church and state is a cardinal doctrine of Reformed theology, because Reformed theology does not distinguish between Israel and the church. Reformed theology says that the church of the New Testament takes all the promises of God given to Israel. And Israel was a theocracy. Israel combined religion and government. Okay? And the practical application of that is that much of the Christian history today is secretively or undercoverly, and a lot of materials today are promoting what is really a Christian theocracy. And that's why Christians should get involved in politics, because the church is supposed to usher in the kingdom. Okay? And we'll maybe read a little bit more about that next week, but all the big fellas in this movement, David Barton, how many have heard of David Barton? Okay? He is maybe the number one fellow of rewriting history. And he is a Reconstructionist, Reformed theology all the way. And there's a whole host of people we have to talk about. Okay? So, under number two, reformers equate Israel and the church, and therefore, A, the heresy of marriage between church and state. And B, the use of the sword of the state to punish and or exterminate unbelievers or doctrinal error. Okay? And, of course, let's turn to Matthew 22:21. Makes it very clear that the Lord Jesus said, in this church age, there's a distinction between the church and the state. They were asking about taxes, and he said, give me a penny. And he said to them, whose is this image? Verse 21, they said unto him, Caesar's. Then he saith unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Okay, I'm going to give you kind of a conclusion here so we don't get lost. To help you kind of navigate in this whole thing. The Reformed Reconstructionist movement is very much interested in political action. And one of the things, though, that really I think has been lost in all of this is, what is God's plan? What is God's plan? Now, it won't take very long for us to think about this, but what is God's plan? The plan of God is what? The plan of God is winning souls, starting churches, and praying for revival. That's God's plan. God's plan is not Reconstructionism or bringing in a Christian nation that kind of fits the mold of political action and swerving a country that way. How was America shaped in the past? How was it shaped in the past? It was shaped by those who spread the Word of God. And, you know, I just, as I've been looking, thinking about this, just realized that there are certain Christian movements that are very anti-local church. And I've been, you know, as I've been studying and thinking about this, one of the problems is that we have, through a lot of what we have been taken as Christian history has left out the Baptist by and large. And they have left out how our country came to liberty. And as a result, there's this been undermining of the importance of the local church. You know, the emphasis of Reformation theology is the emphasis of the Reformation theology, is it the local church? No. The Presbyterian denomination ordains their ministers. The Lutheran denomination ordains their ministers. The Catholics ordain their ministers. The local church is very, in one sense, very insignificant. Why? Because the emphasis of Reformed theology is Catholic thinking. And you know what that is? Universal church. The denomination is the church. In the New Testament, what is the emphasis? The New Testament church, the local church. And a lot of people that claim to be Christian today have, they're very detached from the local church. Very detached. That isn't the primary thing in their life. That isn't the center of God's program. And they're missing it. And, you know, I think there's a, this is my opinion, I think there's a subtle acceptance of Reformed thinking that has brought this about. It's interesting to read about, I thought I'd give you this one last one about, and we'll get some there closer to home, but I don't want to get there yet. It says, Gothard's Advanced Training Institute of America. Gothard began his homeschool program, Advanced Training Institute of America, in 1984. And Cardin was one among 100 families that piloted the ATI program. To any candid observer, Gothard's homeschool is an advancement of Rush Dooley's Catholic Reformed Reconstructionist views. In ATI, the founders of the American public were Catholic Reformed and nothing about Williams, Clark, Backus, Leland, and the Baptist is even mentioned. And you wonder why Gothard's movement is so separated from and distinct from local churches, because they have a Reformed theology backing in their thinking from the very beginning. So how are we going to try to wrap this up a little bit? We'll continue with this. Covenant theology is a very important part of Reformed theology. And covenant theology employs figurative interpretation of the Bible, spiritual interpretation, so Israel is parallel with the church. As a result, the church now is a semi-theocracy, They are meant to be combined with the government, and they are meant to have a sword. And this was the whole theology behind the persecution of the persecuting of Baptists by the reformers, because they believed in a theocratic state. And it's because of their covenant theology. All right? And as a result of that, you see the number one thing that was the reason for the persecution in America before the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution was why? Because the reformers believed in a church-state religion. And so, if you did not weren't a member of that church-state religion, they took the sword of the government and they persecuted the Baptist. And we'll talk a little bit about that, but it's an important principle. That is the basis of, you know, are there countries in the world? What about all the Protestant countries of Europe? What makes America different than them? Is America like, is it greatness because of the Protestants of Europe? No. America is great because of the fact that there was Christian liberty became a part of our government, and it was because of the Baptist influence on our founding fathers. And the reason that America is distinctly different from all the other countries of the world that even claim to be Christian is because America alone has Christian liberty. It's not because of Reformed theology. It's not because of the theology of the Reformers. It's because of the distinctiveness of Christian liberty and the ability to have freedom of conscience and the free exercise of our religion. Now, I guess we'll stop there, but it's really something that's very important for us to think about is why are we the way we are? Why is America the way it is? How is America going to recover itself? And I think one of the great truths is we need to get back to really New Testament Christianity. Winning souls. You know, fundamentalism was at its peak in about 1980s, and that's when fundamentalism, the two things were happening. Christian school movement started, homeschooling, Christian school movement started, and all the curriculum eliminated the Baptists in the history. Number two, moral majority started, and the Baptists figured that the solution to the problems was political action. And both of those things combined have silently decayed biblical Baptist thinking. And we have become less evangelistic than ever before. And we have become more political than ever before. And we need to get back to the whole Great Commission. And one of those parts of that Great Commission is winning souls and starting churches. And what a change would happen in America if instead of all these mega churches, you had all sorts of New Testament churches getting started. Be a huge difference. And that certainly is a challenge to us as well. Okay, let's pray. Father, we pray that you will just challenge us in our thinking about the days in which we live, Help us to, help me, Lord, to share with the people where our thinking has been coming from, where it should be coming from, and what wrong thinking has unknowingly been put upon us without even us thinking about it. And may, Lord, this challenge us in these days. May it challenge parents. May it challenge young people. May it challenge us as leaders to go back to our roots in America and to the New Testament plan from the very beginning, and the focus and the thinking of these things from the beginning of the New Testament. And so, Lord, we pray for your grace that we would be able to accomplish that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.